Just your average everyday trucker, keeping it real. Today's topic is a lot going on and apologies for my absence. This is episode 75. So, once again, guys, welcome. Appreciate you being here. And like I said, apologies for my absence. I know that this is kind of going into the second week where I haven't really been able to get anything done. You could say kind of dealing with some stuff. To kind of give you guys a little bit, to kind of fill you in a little bit, this is me kind of, I know this will post technically on Wednesday, but I'm still going to consider it, you know, a Real Talk Tuesday episode. Hence why you guys will hear that, the Real Talk intro that I've, you know, I've already got pre-set up. But basically, this is me trying to, you know, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and jump on here so that way I'm not just gone. Kind of let you guys know what's going on. Like, I'm not disappearing on you, I promise, you know. I will be, you know, get this, get myself in gear and, you know, be doing these Real Talk Tuesday episodes and then getting, you know, stuff written for Fridays. To kind of, as far as the stories for Fridays, when I was at my parents' house out there in Oklahoma, like back up, like the 11th, 10th, 11th, something like that. I think it was the 9th when we left, because we left on Friday. So that was fun. That was very interesting. My boss, dude, basically, like, my run that I would normally do out here. Usually we leave at like 5 p.m. at night, and then, you know, I'd get back to the hub by like 2 in the morning, and I thought, all right, you know, that's why I didn't request off the day before I was gonna leave, because I thought if I get back at probably 2 a.m., I should be able to get up at like 10 a.m. and get ready to go, you know, but my boss that week decided to change things up on me. He's, oh yeah, since you're leaving Friday, you know, for Wednesday and Thursday, I'm gonna have you do Knoxville runs, so you hopefully will be getting back. You know, you'll be getting back to the hub earlier. You have an earlier night. Never happened. Both those nights, I ended up not picking up till like 9:30, 10, 10:30 to come out to Knoxville. So I wasn't getting back till like 5 or 6 anyway. And then on Thursday night, the night before I was going to leave, basically that same deal. I had to, instead of, I guess I was going to do a Knoxville run, but I guess it canceled. So instead I was going to go to, because I was looking for, I was actually looking, kind of hoping for a Knoxville run versus like the Kodak run, even though miles wise, miles-wise, Kodak's a little bit further. Like, Knoxville's like 170 miles from Nashville. Kodak's another 30 miles further, so it's like 200. Like 200 miles there, 200 miles back. So that's one of those things where, like, well, like, if I'm wanting the miles, Kodak's better because I could, you know, I'm already losing miles because, like, my run, my normal run, which I'm up, you got some news about that too, because that's changed. You know, a lot has changed. Lots has happened. That's kind of why I thought, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and jump on here, and, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe the next 2 days, maybe I could actually, I might be able to get something written, or because I mean, there's technically like there's things I can't read. I guess I could, you know, start introducing you guys to the book I started back in 2012 or whatever that, you know, I've done a little bit of work on since over the past couple months. But you guys might enjoy that story too, but we'll see what happens. But, sorry, just adjusting the microphone real quick. It's always fun when you have a headset on and then your ear itches, so then you're like, you have to, like, move the headset a little bit so you can scratch your ear. And I think whenever I do that, I've noticed when I listen back to the episode later on to make sure that, you know, that everything sounds good. That, because I've done it before where I posted an episode only to have it, like, it was apparently there was a almost like an echo where you could hear me talking twice somehow. I realized how it took me a while, but I finally figured out how I accidentally did that. And so I had, when I was listening to it, I realized you're, hey, how's it going? I'm like, oh crap, what the heck did I just do? So I had to go in there and delete it and basically, like, re-edit the initial recording again so that that way it would actually sound like it was supposed to sound. And it was like, crap. It was not something. That's why, you know, it's always good to do, that's why they say, like, it's like in school, you know, you got to go check your work and make sure everything's, you know, the way that you want it to be. So, but, okay, I'm trying to, kind of had one of those little brain fart moments where I was like, where was I going with that? But, so, Thursday night when I was running, for whatever reason, I got delayed quite a bit. I had to go out to Kodak, which I was like, shit, you know, because I was hoping to have an easier night so that way I could just get back and whatever, but it was like, oh crap. And I had to do doubles each time, so it was like doubles, which takes me about 40 minutes to set up. Set of doubles to Kodak, and then from there, set of doubles empty, of course, back to Nashville. And it just took a while. So by the time I finally, I hit some traffic on the way there, so that kind of slowed me down. And so I'm out there, you know, heating up my food, getting my two empties set up. And as I'm going through the final steps of setting up the doubles, I look at the time, and it's freaking, it's already at that point, it's like, well, you know, we'd ran into East Coast time, too. Out here in Knoxville, it time changes. So then when I'm going back, then it goes back to Central again. So I look at the time, and it's like, you know, 3 o'clock. And I'm going, fuck. Because I'm probably at least 3 hours away. You know, you figure probably, well, at least, yeah, a little under 3 hours. So I'm looking at that, I'm going, crap, it's going to be 6 when I get home. Crap, you know, I'm not going to be able to get up at 10 and hit the road because it's an 800-mile drive to my parents' house. And I'd already arranged it where I was going to basically pick up a U-Haul car trailer. And I was going to haul it behind my truck all the way out to Oklahoma with my daughter. And then, you know, we're going to spend a couple days there. And then we're going to pick up that car that used to belong to my grandparents, that my parents have had for a while since my grandparents passed. It's a 95 Buick. Really nice car, you know, probably the comfiest seats that I've actually, you know, ever experienced in a car for a while, you know, like really plush and really, really, like, you know, fancy inside, you know. But the plan was to drive out there with that trailer and then end up loading that car on that trailer and hauling it, basically hauling that car back here to Tennessee or whatever. After getting the car and having it with us this past week or whatever, I think the car probably would have been fine. It probably could have made the 770 mile trip. I just round up. I'd say 800 because it's close enough. But it probably could have made it because it's in really good condition. My parents took really good care of it and stuff. But I figured, you know, it's like we have a 2006 Mazda that's also going to be one of the kids' cars. The plan was basically to get the Buick, and that Buick would temporarily be my oldest's, like her car. Because basically when I was making the plan to go out there and get it, I told my oldest, I was like, so Lex, we get this car. I was like, her dream car is like the Sam and Dean car from Supernatural. 19, I think it's like a 67 Chevy Impala or whatever. And I was like, I know that that's your dream car and stuff, and I know that you don't want to necessarily be driving a 95 Buick, even though it's, yeah, good car, you know. But I was like, I would like to keep the family in the car anyway, or the family in the car. I caught it pretty quick, but, you know, I still screwed that up. So the car in the family, there we go, got the words out properly. And so, like, you can drive the car for a while until, like, you know, you get to a point where you know, you're in the position where you want to upgrade to the car you want. I was like, then basically, we're not going to trade this car in. We're just going to keep it in the family. And, you know, then it'll get you to where you want, you know, get you to that point where you want to buy your own car or whatever. And she's like, yeah, of course, yeah. All right. But went out there with my youngest. And thinking that because the Mazda was initially going to be Allie's, but then, you know, she left for a couple years, and during that time, I was like, this is before we made the plan about the Buick. During that time, I was like, well, it was going to be Alex's car, but I guess that Mazda's going to be your car, but she's like, okay, cool. But she went out there with me to my parents' house, and we're, you know, my dad's showing us the car or whatever, and like, Zoe literally got in the car in the driver's seat or whatever, and hadn't been able to give her a driving lesson yet at that point. Been kind of on the to-do list, but around here in Nashville, it's not really a whole lot of areas you can just go, hey, there's a big empty lot over here, let's go. You know, my dad's like, well, what about like Walmart and stuff, like Home Depot? And I'm like, yeah, Dad, like during the day, like those places are always packed, like there's never like a big vacant lot that we could go to. I was like, even at night, there's still quite a few cars parked there. But where my parents live, it's a small town, and you know, there's couple halfway, like either vacant parking lots or parking lots at stores that are currently open that didn't really have a whole lot of traffic in them. So basically, like me and my kiddo, I was like, you know what, we'll go out here around town with the car and give you some driving lessons, let you drive a little bit, get some experience under your belt. And she was all excited about the car. Like she was like talking like, oh man, I really like, I want to drive this car. Like, I want this car to be my car. And I'm like, well, I don't care if it's yours or your sister's, you know. I was like, if you want the car, that's fine. Allie can have the Mazda, you know. My thing that I've been after is to at least just make sure that both y'all have a vehicle to drive. Because I want you to be able to go get a job if you want to. I want Allie to be able to commute, then get herself back and forth to her job, between her job and home, and not spending $40 a day on Uber. You know, I was like, if that means that Allie's in this car, or Allie's in the Mazda, or you're in this car, I don't really care. I was like, you guys can work it out. And so, I had to maneuver my Ram around there, because they have a lot of acreage, because they have like a couple, they got like two pastures. They used to have alpacas. So I had to pull my truck with the car trailer up into one of the pastures, turn back around, and then park it, you know, out of the way, so that way we could get the Buick, you know, out of the driveway. So it was kind of blocking. It was kind of blocking where it was. So I backed into the driveway with the trailer. And so I took Zoe out. We went out driving. Yeah, she actually did pretty good, you know, like kind of panicking at first, you know, first time driver or whatever. But then she got it. I think I keep, I've always been constantly telling both my kids, like, look, like, the majority of learning how to drive is just, like, repetition, you know, memorization, like, getting used to it. Like, you just do it enough that you get used to it, you get to where you're comfortable with it because you've been doing it a lot. Like right now, it's like, when I go out on the road, I don't even, like, most of the time, I'm just driving, and it's not like I'm constantly thinking, okay, I gotta check my meters, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. I automatically do that because that's just what I've done. That's what I've been doing for this past, well, since I've been a trucker, it's like second nature, of course, but I've been driving since I was like 15 or whatever. I had a school permit, so it's like second nature to me or whatever. But so we get go out and about Wazoo, you know, get her driving experience, whatever. Figured Saturday and Sunday we'd go out both those days or whatever. And then Sunday, figured after going out, driving the car for a little bit, you know, getting it cleaned up, like car wash, was kind of what we did. And we first went out and did the car wash, got it all vacuumed up, and then, you know, grabbed a little snack, and then went over to it was like a, kind of like a Home Depot, but it's like a, I don't know if it's a mom and pop place, because I've never heard of them. It's like Sturgis's or something like that, I don't know. I don't even remember exactly what it was called, but it's basically like a Home Depot under a different name. And so, did all that we had to do, then went over there and let her, you know, get quite a bit of driving in. And then we were going to swing through McDonald's and, you know, grab some cheap stuff, like get her a chicken sandwich, get me some nuggets before heading back to my parents' house, whatever. That's when, like, we get back to the house or whatever, and I pull the truck a little further down with the trailer, so that way I get back the car back behind the trailer, get it all lined up, pull the ramps out, get everything all set up, ready for me to pull it on there and tie it down. And I'm getting it all up there, and my dad comes out and he starts helping me a little bit, you know, because I've never secured a car down to a trailer like this. I don't know what I'm doing, but once I got it done, I was like, all right, that's not hard. It was actually a lot easier than I thought. There's little nets you throw over the front tires, and then there's one of those little cranks that you insert the end of the strap through it, and then you use the little pulley-type crank, or the, you know, to tighten it up, so you really can't tighten it up, and then, of course, you have it all the way down, so it, you know, can't release or whatever, so I was doing that. My dad comes out and he's talking to me. He goes, by the way, yeah, Grandma said that she would actually really prefer that Zoe gets the car. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, how come? You know, I was like, I'm not complaining. I don't care which one of them gets the car. But I said, I was kind of leaning towards maybe suggesting it be Zoe's car anyway because of how excited she seemed to be with the idea of driving that car. He's like, yeah. Well, she was really happy to see how excited Zoe is about the car. And, you know, it's always been a student driving it, you know, since we've had it after Grandma passed or whatever. So they would like to keep it in the family and keep it, you know, having a student drive it. I said, that's fine. You know, I was like, I'm good either way, and I'm sure Zoe will be happy to hear that because I think she wants the car. She wants to be the one driving the car, so. So, yeah, fun times there, fun times. But, so. So I tell Zoe that. She, of course, you know, I joked with her, oh, you should call her sister. So she calls and talks to her. Hey, Grandma wants me to have the car. Allie, of course, like, oh my God, favoritism, you know, giving her a hard time. And she's like, well, wait, I mean, Sissy and I are kind of going to share the car anyway, you know, but I mean, yeah, it'll be my car, but, like, obviously Sissy can drive it if she, or, you know, I'll take Sissy around if she needs it, or, you know. And I was like, well, she's going to have the Mazda. And she's like, yeah. And I'm going to help. When I get a job, I told Sissy I'm going to help her do the little stuff that needs to be fixed up on the Mazda, you know, to help her out or whatever. I'm like, that's cool. You know, I know I still got to get the windows taken care of, replace the battery again, because I guess the one I put in it died during wintertime. So I might be under warranty. I might be able to get a free battery. We'll see. And I think it needs a little bit of brake work. But other than that, you know, it's a good car, you know. They both have. It's 2006 that has a roughly about the same mileage as the 1995 Buick. You know, which is kind of funny, you know. But the way I look at it, it's an A to B car. We would not take those cars on the road to do a big trip with them because I wouldn't want to kill them, you know. Because if you could do the maintenance on it, oil changes and stuff on your car, and keep basically, you know, drive to work and back and drive around town or whatever, do small trips, you know, then get a couple years out of it at least, you know. Now, the Mazda, I don't really care as much about keeping the car around, but the Buick, you know, I'd want to keep it around. But, you know, one funny thing about the Buick, though, is we got it back here. I had to have my dad fill out a gift. I guess I had them write a note. He said, they're like, well, are you going to get charged? Are they going to charge you for when you try to switch the title over? And I said, well, I think if you and dad write a note saying that you're gifting us the car, I think that'll do it. And they're all right, cool. So they did a note, they dated it, whatever. Both my parents signed it, and I, you know, went in there to the DMV or the county clerk's office, I guess, to take care of the title and the new registration to get new plates on it. Because my dad took the Oklahoma plate. I was kind of hoping to have that plate on there for a minute to kind of give us a couple days to go ahead and get it taken care of. But I had to go do it right away because we got it back here, and of course we didn't have a plate on the car, so I was like, yeah, I gotta go register it right away, whatever. So that handwritten note apparently didn't work. Like, I had to, the agent I was dealing with at the counter had me basically call my dad right there and basically get an email address for him, and they emailed him before for him to fill out. They don't answer text messages very quick, so I went ahead and called them. And I said, hey, Dad, like, yeah, can you get on your computer? And they're going to send you a form. I just need you to fill that out and send it back, because otherwise they will charge. It's like charge taxes based on the registered value of the car, which probably wasn't much, but, you know, might have still been a couple $100. Who knows? I don't know what it's worth, but... So got that taken care of, and the funny thing about that, as far as like ownership of the car and keeping in the family, because I had me, my wife, we had our grandson, and we had our youngest with us, because my oldest, she had to work that day. Like, I think, yeah, she had to work Tuesday. So, because basically I'd take it off Friday, Saturday, and then Tuesday, mainly because I figured we're coming back Monday, but I wanted to take a day to kind of like unwind and, you know, get back to, like, be able to rest up a little bit before going back to work, you know. But, you know, Zoe was in the back of the truck, in the back seat of the truck, and when I got in, I handed her the plate with the registration, said that slip goes in your glove box, you know, obviously the plate goes in the car, and she asked me a very funny question. She was like, am I gonna have any issues being that you're listed as the owner of the car, Dad? And I was like, well, yeah, because, like, you won't have an issue with that. Like, it is your car, but until you graduate, it's going to be listed, you know. I said, well, it's just me right now listed as the owner, because I asked if I could add my wife on there. She was circling the lot because parking sucks downtown. So, basically, she was circling the lot, whatever, and waiting for me, because it was easier for me to pull up, me run in to take care of the registration stuff. Otherwise, I'd spend 45 minutes circle the lot trying to find a parking spot. So I got out and said, here, go ahead, circle around, and I'll hurry in and play, I'll be right out here. She's all right, cool. But I asked the counters, can I put my wife on here too? So this is like, you know, my name or my wife's name, you know, for the owners, you know. And they were like, yeah, we would need, like, she would need to be in here with her ID, or you have power of attorney to be able to go ahead and add her. And I was like, okay, well, it's fine. I'll just do myself on there. So I pretty much, for three of our cars, I've been, like, I was the one that took care of dealing with the Mazda when we were paying on that. Basically, that was just me when I bought my truck, you know, because she wasn't there with me when I bought it. So, and now with the Buick, it's basically three of our four cars. I'm pretty much the sole listed owner on there. And then, of course, she and I were on the Jeep together. Because we were both there when we bought that one, so just means whatever I do, it will. You know, I gotta make sure to list list those assets or whatever, which I figure, you know, my plan with the Mazda is to get it, the little things taken care of on it, get it off the ground or whatever, and then if, once Allie starts full-time driving, I might be like, surprise her and be like, hey, so it, just sign the car over to her, be like, look, it's officially your car, like, if you want to, if you end up, like, put money aside, you want to end up trading it in towards something better, go for it, you know. And I told that basically when Zoe asked us about the Buick, like, am I going to have a problem and run into any issues because, like, you're listed as the owner and not me or whatever? And I was like, well, Bug, like, very rarely will, you know, somebody who's 15, you know, getting a car from their grandparents or their parents, very rarely would they have, they be listed as the owner of that car. Usually it's the parents or whatever that are the registered owners. And I was like, but if, let's say, in 2 years you graduate and you're still driving the Buick and you want to keep the Buick, I said, Mom and I have no problem signing over the title to you and basically, you know, giving you full ownership of that car. It'll be your car. I said, my main thing is I just don't want it to get traded in. You know, I would like to keep the car around as long as possible because it's a good car. You know, but she's all excited. I don't think she'd want to get rid of the car anyway. You know, but sent photos of the car with a new plane or whatever to my, my parents. My mom was all like, Grandpa would be so excited, so happy to know that his car is helping another one of his grandkids. I was like, yep. I was like, Zoe's excited, you know. So to move on to a different part of, because I know I've kind of talked quite a bit so far, taking up a lot of time when talking about the trip and the car, which the trip itself was easy, you know. It's like literally, what I love about going to my parents' house is like the highway that runs near us literally runs the 800 mile, whatever, you know, almost, it's not straight to them, but it basically, I don't have to take a whole lot of, you know, take this highway, get off on this highway, go north here, go south here, and then get back on west. It's like, no, it's pretty straightforward. So I don't mind, even though it's a long ass drive, I don't mind it that much because it doesn't feel that bad, you know, because you're basically just cruising on the same highway most of the time. So, but so we get back, I get back to Wednesday, I get up to you know, go to work, wake up early that afternoon, ready to probably go to the truck around 5 in the afternoon like I'm used to. And I, you know, at that point I realized I had missed a couple calls from my boss at like 7 a.m. and I'm going, I am never up at 7 a.m. When you work nights and stuff, yeah, I'm not going to answer the phone at 7 a.m. Well, my phone's always silent anyway, so if I'm not near it, if I don't see the phone light up with the call coming through, then you're going to go to voicemail and I'll have to get back to you. But so I text my boss early afternoon on Wednesday, and I'm like, hey, boss, like I saw that I missed a couple calls this morning. Is everything okay? He's like, yeah, it's calling me about load. Oh, okay. I was like, well, did Farina cancel? Like, what's going on with that? He goes, oh, Farina actually, it switched. It's now a 12, like, it's leaving between 12 and 1 now instead of 5, and it's probably going to go to a 9 a.m. I'm like, really? Well, like, how are we going to do that? Because the team from Minnesota, they leave at like 8:30 in the morning, and it's a 10-hour trip for them. He goes, oh, there's probably going to be 2 Farinas. Oh, okay. So I was like, so what are we going to do? Like, so am I just going to try to figure something tonight as far as a small load tonight so that way I can run the earlier Farina tomorrow? He goes, well, I can't switch drivers midweek because then I'll get declined loads. So he's like, I'm going to have you do Knoxville and Kodak this week. Okay, you know. So I basically was like, oh, so what do you need me to do tonight? To be available, you know, right, like stand by until like 8, 9 o'clock tonight? He goes, yeah, pretty much. All right. 8:30 Wednesday night comes along, and I'm like, so, like, what are we doing? And I hadn't heard shit from him. Communication is not really a very big thing, I've noticed, with the company I'm employed with. You know, sometimes it's hard. Like, I might not hear shit if I don't reach out to him and say, so what's the plan? Then he'll respond, oh, here's what we're doing. But if I don't say shit, then he'll just, I just won't hear anything and nothing will happen. And he'll be like, well, like, why were you up there? Well, you didn't tell me what to do. You know, I'm sitting at home, like, twiddling my thumbs, going, all right, like, are we working tonight? Am I, like, unpaid night off? What the fuck's going on, you know? So 8:30, I'm like, so what's the deal? Like, what, like, you know, and he's like, I'm trying to confirm right now. I'm like, all right. 9:30 comes along, and I'm like, so what's the deal? Like, I'm, you know, like, still haven't heard anything. He goes, oh, actually, should we assume that I'm off? You know, at this point, because by that point, I'm like, sir, it's 9:30. Like, if I go any later, I'm gonna be working all night. Nashville FedEx has, you know, they're gonna have something probably. Check it. You should check the app. It'll have something in there. The call Nashville like 9:45, and talk to so and so, and they'll tell you what you're doing. I'm like, all right. I checked the app. Didn't have any load assigned. 9:45, I called in and basically said, yeah, Jimmy said to call you guys and you guys would probably have something, but he wasn't sure. Oh, let me put you on hold. All right, you know. So they put me on hold, and they come back like, yeah, hey, Mr. Blodgett, yeah, we don't have anything tonight. Like, if we get something that comes up, we'll call you. All right. Thinking at that point, well, if something does come up and you try to call, I'll probably not answer because at this point, you're telling me you don't have anything. I'm not going to be available for a load after this. Because I ain't going to stick around until midnight and wait for you guys to tell me what to do. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to go across the street, grab a couple more drinks, you know, hang out, chill out with the fam. Because the wife was literally making dinner at that point. I'm going, I don't want to leave right now because she's literally making dinner. That would suck. Like, hey, love, I know dinner's going to be ready in like 20 minutes, but I can't stay. I got to go. So when they told me, yeah, we don't have anything for you, I'm like, all right, cool. So hung up, went across the street, grabbed a couple more drinks, came back over, had dinner with the fam. My wife threw a show on Netflix or Hulu or something. I don't even remember what we watched that night. But then like literally 10:40, my phone goes off and it's the Lionhall office call. I saw the number pop up and I kind of recognized that. Went, oh, fuck. By that point, I'd already had like half of one of my drinks, one of the 24 ounce cans of the Mike's Harder, which, you know, it's not like intense alcohol, you know. But when you're already like almost a drink in, and then they're like, hey, you want to come out there? Like, I probably could have gone in the car and like did a quick errand, but like, after having a little bit of a drink, I ain't gonna come out in the work truck, you know, because I ain't gonna risk it. If not so much for the having alcohol in your system, I'm more worried about like the cameras and stuff that are in the trucks. I don't know if there's like something in there that would pick up like, hey, well, it picked up the scent of alcohol, and so, you know, like even the very faint alcohol in your breath. I'm like, no, I don't risk it. I don't bring alcohol anywhere near the truck. You know, because I've heard of guys literally like stopping somewhere when they're bobtailing home and they put like a 12 pack of like Bud in their side box. Like, they didn't even have it in the truck, put it in the side box. And somebody saw them and called the company, and the company, of course, called the guy like, yeah, do you have beer in your truck? Like, he's like, oh, it's in the side box. Like, it's not even in the truck. Like, I'm just taking it home for my 34. Got fired because, you know, buying alcohol and transporting it in the work truck, you ain't gonna stand for it. So I ain't gonna risk it. So at that point, I didn't even decline the calls. I figured that would look worse. So I just let them go through the voicemail. They called a couple times. And then the next morning, like probably 10 a.m., I woke up and I texted my boss, like, yeah, when I called there at 9:45, they told me they didn't have anything. And then around 11, a little before, they were trying to call me in. By that point, I was nowhere near my phone because I was like, well, I'm not working. Like, you guys didn't have anything. And he was like, well, yeah, I told them I thought you were there. I didn't realize that you weren't there. And I was like, no. I was like, once they told me I didn't have anything to do, then I no longer was there. Like, I was, by that point, I'm like, all right, I'm home chilling out because, you know, they told me they didn't have anything. So basically, it was like, all right, well, I'll be a bit like tonight. It's going to be Knoxville, Kodak, whatever. Like, 8, like, between 8 and 10 sometime. All right, you know. So that was fun, you know. So had one of those nights. I think it was, yeah, it was Thursday night when I grabbed a load out of Mount Juliet going to Knoxville, and then they didn't have anything to go back, so basically I was grabbing an empty, and I got 40 miles away from Nashville, or from Knoxville, on my way back to Nashville, making good time, thinking, alright, cool. And there was the storm that night that was coming through, a really, really big thunderstorm, a lot of rain, but I had managed to miss it because it was hitting Nashville when I left. You know, it's hit Nashville after I was already gone. And then I got to Knoxville, and I got the MD, and I got out of there before the storm was coming through. But I got 40 miles away, and then the line haul off, or the FedEx line haul office calls and goes, "Can you turn around and go back to Knoxville?" I'm like, "What?" Yeah, like, cause I was like, "Man, I'm already like 40 miles away from Knoxville. Like, I gotta need another 40 minutes to get back. You know, that adds an extra hour and a half on my day easily because I've already been 45 minutes away and I gotta go 45 minutes back. Well, we really need you to go back there because there's two trailers we need you to you know, bring back to Nash because the driver that's supposed to pick those up blew a tire, and so he's not gonna be able to get them." I was like, "Crap." So I did. Went ahead, got off, and turned around and made my way back. On my way back, I'm seeing lightning and thunder, and I'm going, "Crap." I was like, "I'm gonna," because at that point I didn't have my rain jacket with me, because I didn't realize. I mean, I heard it was gonna rain, but I figured usually I'm pretty good at, you know, being able to avoid it. You know, but when it was lightning out, I'm going, "I'm gonna have to set up a set of doubles." I'm like, "Crap, I'm gonna get drenched." You know. So I get there, I get the trailers most of the way set up, and the last couple steps I have to do, that's when the monsoon happened. And it wasn't necessarily cold out, but after the rain, after, you know, when you get soaked to the bone, like, that probably was more drenched than I've ever happened in my life. I was cold. So I, you know, got up, I got everything hooked up or whatever, I got back in the truck, cranked the heat up, just trying to, like, warm myself up and hopefully dry out. And by the time I got to Nashville, I was, you know, pretty much mostly dry at that point. Thought I was good until, like, Friday afternoon. I wake up and I'm like, I could tell something's up. Like, just wasn't feeling good. Didn't have much of an appetite. Thought maybe I had a fever, but I wasn't sure. Until later that, like, I'll go to take a shower, like a hot shower, hoping to make me feel better. And I was like, feeling like I was going to pass out in the shower. So then I was like, well, still have a couple hours. So I'll have to be available at 9 o'clock to go to the truck. I'm gonna get under my comforter and just basically like burrow myself under there and try to just warm up and just try to rest a little bit. I couldn't sleep, you know. I didn't want to go to sleep because it was only like within 2 hours of 9 o'clock. So I figured at least lay under there, just kind of relax and try to rest as much as possible without sleeping, obviously. But I got out after that. I'm one of those like, if I can be upright, then I'm going to be working. But that night, like, literally any time I was on my feet, I felt like crap. Like, I didn't want to be on my feet. I had no energy. If I was sitting or laying down, I felt okay, you know. But so that night, I was just laid in bed till about 8:30, 8:45, something like that. And then I went ahead and I forced myself to get up. My wife hollered from downstairs, like, "I got dinner." I'm like, "All right, cool." She'd order pizzas and, like, wings and whatever from this place called Marco's down the street. But got dressed in my FedEx gear, came downstairs, immediately threw on, as it wasn't really cold outside either, it was like 55 or whatever. But I knew that because I was pretty sure I was feverish, I went ahead and threw on my hooded sweatshirt, figured, well, I'm gonna be cold, so I might as well throw on my hoodie. So I'm in the kitchen getting my stuff together, filling my water bottles, and I'm basically feeling top heavy. And I'm debating, I'm going, I really don't want to take a day off because of the pay, but, you know, I don't know if this is a good idea for me to leave like this. So I text the boss basically like, "Hey, is it possible if there's a PTO day available, can I go ahead and apply it tonight?" Because I said, I got drenched last night when you guys sent me back to Knoxville. And I've been running a big fever today. You know, I said, so I had my wife, you know, track down the little thermometer or whatever, which I really do because I rarely ever run a fever. I rarely ever, usually I'm not sick too often, except this year's obviously been worse. It's Alex going to daycare and people sending their kids to daycare sick, and then Alex bringing stuff home and, you know, giving it to the rest of us. I know he doesn't do it on purpose. It's not anything we blame him for. It's just I wish that other families wouldn't actually send their kids to daycare while they have a flu or something, and then of course other kids get it and give it to their families. It's like, ah, man. But texted my boss, basically asked him, was like, is it gonna be okay if I, you know, call out tonight? Because I said I just can't really be upright. I was like, I've got a fever after last night, and you know, kind of been nauseous. So he's like, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, all right. So took the night off, relaxed, whatever. And I think I went to bed. I think when I went to bed, it was like midnight, and I had set my alarm for like 12, like noon, pretty much. 12:30, 1 o'clock. So literally, I probably got like 13 hours solid of sleep. You know, and still didn't feel great the next day. Like, but I was able to actually eat. The night before, when I was sick, I literally had a chicken sandwich that afternoon when I first got up, and then had like two pieces of like peanut butter and cinnamon toast. You know, because I got to the point where we're watching the stuff. I didn't really, like, at that point, I didn't touch the food that my wife got me at all at that point. Because I was like, I don't know if I can handle it, but I know it's pretty heavy, so I'm going to try some light, have some toast, you know. But so, you know, the next day I was able to actually eat part of what my wife picked up for me the night before. And it felt a little better, you know. I had my energy levels back up there again. I could be on my feet, doing stuff. So I get back in there, do my last after calling out Friday. So I go ahead, do my Saturday shift, which basically again was that night. I think I was going to Bowling Green and doing a load up there, and then bring a load down to Murfreesboro, and then probably back from there to Nash, which I was like, yeah, I'm not going to get a lot of miles. But then I got sent to Huntsville, so that added a little bit of mileage or whatever. Now we're getting into a little bit what's happening with the boss and the employer. 6 months ago, roughly when I had about 6 months of employment in with him, I had asked my boss, I said, hey, do we get any like vacation time aside from PTO? And he was, oh yeah, your 1 year mark, you get 1 week of PTO and 1 week of vacation. He goes, you get the vacation, and then you get the PTO because we don't have sick pay. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So I was kind of excited about that. It's actually quite a bit of I'm looking forward to that. So that way you get any previous contractors I've been employed with FedEx. Usually after a year, you get at least a week. Like, once you hit the one year mark, you have 7 days. It's either 7 days you can use, or since it's a 5 day work week, it's 5 days you can use. They call it a week, but it's actually just a work week. You know, you don't actually have 7 days. Eh, whatever, you know. But some of it is 7 days. Like, it's actually a week's worth of vacation, which is pretty awesome. But, so I was looking forward to that, because I told my parents when I saw them, I'm like, hey, I just passed my 1 year mark right now. So I should have a week of vacation and a week of PTO. Sorry, it's some bumps out here. But, so I'm like, so I should see you guys sometime around July 4th. You know, probably planning one of those big trips again. We're going to, you know, go to Oklahoma, spend a couple days with them, then drive up to Kansas, spend a few days there, and then, you know, then of course come back to Nashville. So that was the plan. I looked online and saw it, showed that I had like 8 hours of PTO available, you know, after using a couple days this week. And I was like, huh, all right, you know. So I figured, I emailed over my boss's head to kind of go up the chain and say, like, hey, this is what my boss, this is what Jimmy said, you know. He told me this about 6 months ago, that we get like a week of PTO and a week of vacation after a year. Is this true? And she basically emailed back saying, no, only PTO we get here is earned PTO. So you get like so many hours, you know, it's based on like how many hours you're on duty. And then ends up being, I think she said like 3 hours per month of PTO that you end up earning. that means over the course of a year, you end up getting, like, you probably have, like, 4 or 5 days available of PTO you can take. And I'm like, that kind of sucks. Because that's literally, like, you know, not anywhere near what I was told at all, you know. So that plus, you know, finding out, and I think I might have told you guys this in previous episodes, where, like, within the past 2 months, there was this 2 or 3 week period where I was making, my paycheck was like half of what it normally is. And I was being told, oh yeah, Farina's not running because we didn't get any freight from Atlanta. And I'm like, huh, okay. And so, during that time, when I finally got back on my regular run, I was meeting up with the team, and we're talking, you know, we would, especially if we both would get there early, like, you know, we'd be talking for a minute before we take off. And they were telling me, like, well, we were meeting up with Big John. I'm like, Big John? I'm like, yeah, that's when he introduced himself, said, hey, I'm Big John. And I was like, do you see a name on the side of the truck? Like, if it was WSI, and they're like, or, you know, WSI Webster, whatever, you know. Like, no, we didn't see what company it was. But the guy just would say, hey, I'm Big John or whatever. I'm like, so I'm describing him. Like, so it was like, big guy, bald head, like, long gray beard, whatever. Like, yeah, that's it. Like, huh. Well, that's interesting. Like, because I was being told the whole time that there was no freight, that we weren't running, you know, but all the while I'm getting screwed on mileage and somebody else is running my load. So I was like, huh, all right, you know, feel lied to at that point, you know, like, he's telling me he's bullshitting me, you know. And then come up on this weekend, you know, after finding out about the vacation stuff, I talked to my boss, I think, like, Monday afternoon, because I was like, so what are we doing? Like, am I back on Farina tomorrow? What's going on? And he's like, well, actually, I'm just trying to find out, like, what's going on, because I might be doing a 9 a.m. And then so I called him, and I was like, so if it's 9 a.m., like, are you switching me to mornings? Because I'd rather stay on my run. I'd rather keep doing what I've been doing this past year. He's like, well, like, you're one of my night drivers, though. And I think I want to keep you on nights because, like, you know, morning runs, they've been canceling a lot lately, whereas the night runs seem to be running a lot. I'm like, all right, but yeah, if I do a night run, do Knoxville, though, and I'm losing 140 miles per night. So you figure, like, 60 or 70 bucks per night or whatever. So you figure at least if I'm doing Knoxville all week, I'm probably losing at least, you know, $300-something for the week. So may not even clear 1,000, you know, on my take-home check. But I was like, but I guess, you know, gotta do what you gotta do. If you need me on nights, I'll, you know, I was like, I'd rather not lose mileage because I kind of need the money, whatever. But so found out, he's like, yeah, let's go to a 9 a.m. I'm gonna have you on Knoxville Kodak right now. And then, you know, there's probably they're gonna have a load going up to North, they call it Noki, which is like Northern Kentucky. Which that one, the mileage is halfway decent. It's like 200, it's not 270 like to Farina, but it's probably like 235. So it would end up being like 480 or something round trip, which is not terrible compared to like 540 I would normally get. So, but with the vacation stuff, it turned out to be not true. So I literally have like 8 hours of PTO I can use right now compared to like the week of PTO and week of vacation I was told that I would have. And then the other driver running my load, you know, for those couple weeks, like a month and a half back or whatever. So you could say I haven't made a decision to leave at this point, but I am keeping my options open mainly because it's one of those, like, I don't want to be running the current run, which is an easy run, but money-wise, I'm not looking forward to what my checks are going to start looking like. You know, because that means my monthly bonuses are going to go down because I'm not doing as many miles. You know, and so it's like, I'm thinking very hard what to do, you know? But because of all that stuff going on, you can say part of why I've struggled to come on here and be doing these episodes this past week and a half, 2 weeks. Mainly because it has taken a big toll on my mental health. Like, I've just been struggling quite a bit. Like, my wife will literally look at me, you know, we're at the store, and she'll look at me like, she's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not. And she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, everything. Like, you know, I worry about the paychecks because of this. I'm stressed about the fact that I was told I'd have a vacation accrued at 1 year, and that's not the case at all. And I just feel lied to, and I was telling some friends or whatever. I said, one thing I'm really big on is integrity and honesty. Like, if somebody shows themselves to me to be, when they're not honest, they're a liar, they're basically, you can't trust the words that come out of their mouth, I have a problem with that. I have kicked friends on the curb that basically, like, they turned out where they just, it became apparent to me that I couldn't trust what they were telling me. You know, their actions were not, their words and their actions didn't quite match. You know, like, oh, I'm going to do such and such, and then I wouldn't, or whatever. So, to me, it's a kind of an ethical dilemma. Because, yes, I enjoy my job, I love driving for FedEx, you know, but I have a problem, you know, where I'm currently at, because I don't know the things that have been said, I don't know how much of it I can trust. Like, how much is true, how much is accurate, you know. Like, maybe my run really did go to 9 a.m., and, you know, or maybe he just doesn't want me running. He wanted to be able to give that runaway and come up with some kind of story to do it. You know, I don't know. It's like, I like to think that that part is true and stuff, but so, not making any major decisions, you know, but I'm looking into everything. Like, I'm looking into maybe getting my hazmat, maybe become a fuel hauler or whatever. I've looked at some other carriers that are hiring to go from, like, Nashville, like, Memphis with, like, the mail trucks, or, like, the mail, like, hauling mail or whatever. I've even considered going back with my previous carrier that I was over the road with, where I was doing a lease purchase, you know, with a Peterbilt truck. I don't want to do that because, you know, it got instilled in me a little bit again tonight when I literally get on the road. And, like, I'm on my way to Mount Juliet or whatever to do the pickup. I got an empty from Nashville and was halfway to Mount Juliet to do the pickup to go to Knoxville. And my wife calls me, whatever, on a video call. And I guess my grandson, because he was on the potty when I was trying to leave. So, like, I basically, there were no hugs exchanged. But, like, I, you know, kissed the wife goodbye, told Allie I love her. And then I leaned into the bathroom where, you know, the grandson was sitting on the potty chair or whatever. And I said, love you, babe. I said, big boy. He's Papa. I said, love you. I love you, too. He's like, I'll see you in the morning, okay? He goes, okay. But I guess when I was gone, then all of a sudden, she's calling me. And it's, like, then he's on phone going, Papa, I want to hug you. I want to give you hugs. I was like, I want to give you hugs, too. I was like, you were going potty. That's why I couldn't hug you when I left, but we could get hugs tomorrow, okay? He goes, okay. So I was like, yeah, that right there is a big part of why I don't want to go back to being gone, you know, even just for the week and being home on the weekend. I don't want to even do that. You know, living in the truck for 5 days and then basically be back at home for 2 days. I'd rather do something here where I can be home every day. So the plan for now with my current job is to basically just deal with, you know, do the best I can with what I'm currently doing and keep my boss on a need-to-know basis, you know, and not really, I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'll come in and do the work, give my 5 days, and enjoy my adult beverages on my weekend. It's one of those, you know, drink to chill out and just not really care. There's, you know how it is, there's people out there that'll drink and get all courageous. They'll start making phone calls or whatever. Me, I'm more of the, when I'm enjoying my drinks, you know, the stuff that usually that's wearing on me, that's bothering me, whatever, I can very easily not think about it. It doesn't, like, basically I can brush it off when I'm enjoying my margarita mix, my Mike's Harder and whatnot, you know. But it's like, the mental health is definitely taking a toll lately because of all the crap. I think a big part is the honesty thing. You know, like, I was really looking forward to having vacation time that I could use in the next couple months to actually do a big trip. Now, I'm still going to be able to travel, but I'm going to have to, it's going to be more of a financial plan, like put cash aside here, cash aside there. You know, especially if I want to do the brewery in his suites again that has the free alcoholic beverages 7 days a week. You know, that was like $1,800 for the week. You know, and I think we have one or two free nights because of how much we the hotel bill was. You know, because you accumulate points or whatever, and it was so expensive that I'm pretty sure I have a night or one or two nights free there, which I would just let them accumulate. Like, I wouldn't use it unless I absolutely have to. That way I can accumulate those nights. So if we need a free hotel stay somewhere, we can be like, hey, this is great. Hey, let's go use our free night. But hey, you know, so if we do the jury in, it's gonna be like $2,000 just to do it. So it can still be done. Might still be able to take a vacation or whatever, but I'm gonna have to make more of a financial plan and stuff. So right now I'm like, I was telling my friend Sabrina, you know, shout out to Sabrina if you ever listen, you know, if you actually tune in. But telling my friend Sabrina, there's like, you know, I was like, right now I'm not one to make quick decisions, you know, unless I know for a fact that it's something that's basically the route I want to go. But if I'm unsure, I try to research it. I try to think about it quite a bit. I might talk to the wife about it, and until I feel like very strongly like that's the route I need to go, because I don't want to make a quick decision and then regret it afterwards. So I try to make sure that it is in fact the path I'm trying to do. So, one of those things, but for now, it's business as usual. Just going to come out here and do these Knoxville or Kodak runs. Do my 5 days for the week, and then enjoy my margarita mix, my Mike's Harder, and my beer, chilling out of my days off. Lately, what we've been doing since we got the car back here is like, now that it's got, you know, valid plates and all that fun stuff, we go, like, my youngest is all about chicken sandwiches from Bojangles. I hadn't really done them, and I had done the chicken tenders at Bojangles at one point, like, a year and a half back, but they looked, the ones I got were like nuggets. They were, like, so small. $8 for 5 little 2-inch tenders. And I was like, this is, like, they were small. Like, they weren't even, like, thick or anything. It was, like, 2 inches, very thin, very, tiny. I was like, this is a ripoff. Like, I just feel like I got, you know, lost some money because I, you know, basically it wasn't, you didn't even feel halfway full when you're eating them because they're so small. I'm one of those, like, if I'm getting something like tenders or whatever, a steak, something, I want to make sure I feel like I'm getting my money's worth. So when I get little tenders like that, I'm like, yeah, I'm never getting these again. But before the trip, kiddo wanted to go through Bojangles and get chicken sandwiches, so I went ahead and said, all right, let's do it. You know, we got them, and I, of course, was like, well, I'm gonna try the tenders again and see if they're just as bad as they were before. And surprisingly, lately, when I get them, they're actually like big, very, there's a lot of, I mean, they're basically really good tenders. Like, it's, you got 5 tenders that are really big, a lot of breading on them, very, you know, very filling, whatever. I'm like, well, damn, this is like, and this is how these were like before. I wouldn't have stopped getting them, but you get the one batch is like chicken nuggets, and it was like, I don't want to spend $7 or $8 on a, you know, little box of little pieces of chicken or whatever. So clearly our routine with the car is like, you know, because she's not actively driving yet, she's going through the practice tests and stuff to do the permit. You know, that's why we only drove around a parking lot, because she's not technically done the permit yet. But I was giving her some driving lessons without actually going out too much on the road and stuff. But, you know, we'll take her car. You know, we'll take the Buick, and we'll go get Bojangles or whatever. Which, of course, I'm driving because, you know, she can't do it yet. Once she gets that permit, though, then I told her, once you get that permit, we're gonna go on the highway and stuff, because you need to actually get like. real experience, not just the driving around a parking lot and, you know, going out of the street from, like, basically what I had her do was go out one entrance from the store that we were circling around, go out one entrance, get on the little side street, and then go in the other entrance. So it's like she'd be able to get technically on a public road, but then she'd get back in there, and, you know, so I had to show her that a little bit. I was like, here, like, I want to show you something. So we switched seats. She got back in the passenger seat. I got in the driver's seat, and then I pulled out of one of the entrances, turned down to the road, which turned to the right lane. And, you know, I said, so here's how you do it. You know, you don't have to circle out wide to the outside lane and then circle back in, or then jerk back into the right lane. I was like, just gradually turn straight into that right lane, accelerate a little bit, you know, and then put your signal on before you get into the next, get a turn in the next entrance. As soon as I did that, and, you know, I switched back again, and she was able to exit and do it. So, I wish I could find a place around Asheville, like, because when I did a driver's ed course, they actually had a little driving range that had little mock interstate set up, and it had like stoplights, stop signs. It had a couple areas where you could literally pull into a parking space and park, you know, and each car had these little CB radios in them. So that way the tower who was watching all of us could actually like communicate with us, like, car 10, what are you doing? Car 10, you just ran a stoplight. Oh, crap, sorry. Car 10, slow down, you know. But I don't know if they have that around here. Because that would be really cool to have both kids, you know, into a course in there and let them both, you know, be able to get some solid driving experience. Because Allie, I think she's driven a little bit, she said, but she doesn't have her license and she still has to take the test and whatnot. So she's probably a little bit further along than Zoe is, but oh well. But so anyway, guys, I know we've got about an hour now. I apologize for taking so much of your time up. I'm trying to give you guys a decent amount of content tonight for the it's been like going on like a week and a half of me not being on here or whatever. I will do my best to be back, to 100%, basically getting the story written and recorded for you guys the Friday, so we'll go back to the Real Talk Tuesdays and Storytime Fridays. But at the very least, I am going to try to at least have at least the Real Talk Tuesday ones right now. I had to, I had to kind of force myself to come on here and start doing this recording for tonight, because I was like, you know, when you have the problem with mental health, and I'm sure a lot of you guys can understand what, you know, where I'm coming from, because I'm sure we all, or at least most of us, majority of us, probably have experienced, you know, just the lack of motivation, the struggle to push forward, you know, because of just being depressed or dealing with stuff in your life. And so, and that's why, like, that's why I don't know if I'm going to still be where I'm currently working at permanently, especially if I'm doing the current runs, because I'm all about moving forward, and that includes your paycheck. So, in previous employers, when stuff changed and my paycheck went down, I immediately expressed to them, this is a problem. Because I was like, I shouldn't go backwards in pay. I should only go forwards, like, get another job making more money than I'm making now. Oh, well, we can't do anything for you right now. Like, that's all good. So I was like, all right, well, then I'm gone on Friday. Like, I've got orientation. Oh, you're leaving. Well, yeah. I was like, because you guys are fucking me over. Like, I took on extra work, and my paycheck went down. Everybody else is getting out before me. I was working longer hours than them, and they're making more than I am. I said, I'm not going to do it. Well, we're sorry to see you go. Yeah. You too, but it is what it is. But always got to move forward and stuff. And sometimes when you're dealing with the mental health issues, it's hard to do it. That's why I have literally not written anything in my computer for like the past like 2 weeks. Well, a week and a half, just before. I think the last time I wrote in there was probably right before going on the trip to see my parents and bring the car back. So it was kind of like, so it's been, you know, it's been rough. But that's why the wife asked me, like, are you okay? What's going on? Like what's wrong? And I'm like, everything. Like I'm worried about the paycheck. I'm a little upset about the fact that I was lied to by my boss. You know, like, that bugs me. Like, I can't even express how much that rubs me the wrong way, knowing that I was told one thing and it wasn't true. Maybe he believed it. I don't know. But all I know is that he told me something. It was something, a pretty big thing. And then I found out that that's not the case at all, that we actually don't get any vacation time or any PTO except for what we slowly accrue during, you know, our hours that we're on duty or whatever. So it's like, all right, you know, I'd literally have to be where I'm currently at and not take any vacation at all for like years, and I could probably take like 2 weeks off. And that would take a long ass time to basically like accumulate enough to make it actually like a decent vacation, decent getaway. So, you know, I'm gonna keep putting it out there, guys. You know, anybody, you know, if you're having some struggles there too, maybe you just need to talk. You know, feel free to reach out on the email address, blogishowpodcast@gmail.com. I will go back and forth with you and stuff, because I know that, you know, just know that you're not alone. Find different, like, definitely do whatever you can to take care of yourself, you know, self-care. Like, if it's something that you enjoy that actually lifts you up, makes you feel better about life in general, or just makes you feel happier, do it. You know, and I know people look at me funny when I say, well, my drinks on my weekend are technically self-care. They're like, that's really weird. I'm like, no, it's not. I was like, I don't do it during the week, you know, because I'm driving, but when I'm off, it helps me to wind down, relax, and just not really give a crap about anything, you know, that was bothering me before. It's like temporary, kind of like a temporary escape, kind of, you know. But aside from that, it's like, you know, just like the work stuff, being stuck in our apartment complex where we want to get a house but we're unable to at the moment. So that's a big stressor for me too. We deal with parking issues at our complex because they'll bring in new people, new residents, that then they'll basically like have their friends and guests that are coming to hang out, they'll be parking in everybody else's spaces, so then we have nowhere to park, so we have to complain to the office about it. You know, like, look, like, we understand, but we're paying $2,000 in rent. You know, we're supposed to have spaces in front of our apartment. So then they have to send an email out to everybody, you know, and it's like that plus the work thing, and, you know, it's a lot. So I'm grateful for the fact that I was able to come on here and do this episode this week, and I really hope I can figure something out by Friday to get Storytime Fridays back on track and just get back in the groove doing these Tuesdays and Fridays. At the very least, you'll have me for Real Talk Tuesdays for this week, and, you know, a week or two or whatever until I can, you know, pull myself back together and try to get back at it and stuff. But for anybody who wants to contact, to drop me an email, whatever, blodgetshowpodcast@gmail.com, or if you go to blodgetshow.com, there is a contact link. You click that or whatever, and it'll pop up, and obviously it'll ask you, like, which mail service do you want to use, like, whatever, if you got Gmail or Yahoo, whatever, it'll give you those options. You can select which one and drop me an email, you know. Let me know what you thought of this episode. Let me know if you have any advice on previous Real Talk Tuesdays, if you have any story ideas, you know, for any of the Storytime Fridays or whatever. I'll see what I can do. Anybody that would like to support the show, if you go to blodgetshow.com/support, or if you go to blodgetshow.com and click that little three line little drop down menu, you'll see a support link in there. And it'll automatically reroute you to the Patreon account, where you can support the show for as little as $1 per month. Or there's one link off to the left of that where you can basically support the show with a one-time donation. Anything and everything is appreciated. Thank you so much in advance. Everything goes towards basically any expenses as far as keeping the show active and going. So I appreciate it. There's also a promotions tab in there that has a couple things that, like, free accounts you can set up. That when you fund it with $10, you end up getting like $50, like a $50 bonus or whatever. So definitely check that out. But on that note, guys, I really appreciate you guys being here. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for hanging out with me. Sorry for being so long. But I will see you on the next episode, which hopefully will be Storytime Friday or a bonus episode, or at the worst case scenario, it'll be next week's Real Talk Tuesday. You know, as I continue to try to like pull myself together and work on myself and actually get back in the swing of things, because I know the thing with the job and stuff like that, it's taken a toll on me quite a bit. I'm working on it. I'm fighting it, because like I know it's not like I can do anything. It's not like I'm gonna hurt myself, or you know, I can't even leave and go back up on the road, because of course, like, you know, don't want to leave the fam, especially don't want to leave the Grand Kiddo, you know, with the little heartstrings when the wife calls and basically he's like, "Papa, I want to hug you," and I'm like, "I want to hug you too." I was like, right now, if you hugged me, I'd probably cry, but hey, you know. So, all we can do is keep doing our best, and do what we gotta do, and just, you know, put one foot in front of the other, one day at a time, one week at a time, and just, you know, eventually keep the faith that we're gonna eventually get there, you know. So, on that note, guys, I appreciate you. Keep being positive, keep believing, keep pushing forward. Believe you can, believe you will, and you're already halfway there, and then you just have to go out there and do it, and make time for those that matter to you, those that are in your life, that, you know, those closest to you, like your, whether it's friends, family, you know, siblings, kids, whatever, you know, just don't take anything for granted, and, you know, just make the most out of it, because more often than not, we have people that are in our lives that we don't spend time with, and then something happens and we lose them, and then we're filled with regret, because like, you know, then you're like, oh man, I wish I would have gone and seen them a lot more. That's kind of what I'm trying to do with my parents, because I'm like, you know what, they're getting up there in age. It's like most kids when they see their parents up that as old as they are. It's like, I hate seeing them that old, you know, and like knowing that there's quite a few years that I didn't see them. So that's why I'm trying to make the effort to get out there, to be able to hang out with them, spend time with them, whatever. You know, I would have loved to bring Allie with me too, with me and Zoe went out there, but Allie had to work. So it's like, I was happy that I was able to bring one of the grandkids to see my parents. And they hung out with her quite a bit, even though she's all about like hiding in the room and playing the Switch, you know, laying on the bed or whatever. So she wasn't out hanging out with us as much as me hanging out with my parents while they're watching shows on Hulu and stuff. You know, because I was like, well, crap, like they're both retired. And, you know, a couple years back, it was they were both going to bed early. Whereas when I was out there that last weekend or whatever, I was like, well, do I go downstairs and work on my writing? Or do I hang out with them? Because they're still up. So I was like, well, I got to leave on Monday, so I might as well just not worry about the writing right now. Just go ahead and, you know, hang out up here with them, watching the shows that they're watching. That way, spend time with my parents. So I was like, that's kind of what I did. Because I thought, make the most of it, not take it for granted, and, you know, just hang out up there, spending time with them. You know, so funny thing was, like, we got out there to my parents' house at, like, noon on Saturday. And, you know, we were hanging out, watching shows so much that day. Now, after the, you know, we hung out outside, dealing with the car, and so we getting all excited and stuff. And then later on that night, we were, you know, after dinner, we were watching, we were watching shows on Hulu. And I think we finally got up to go to bed like 1 o'clock that morning. And when I got down to my room, I looked at the time and I went, man, did we really arrive here today? Because it felt like such a long day at that point that it felt like we'd been there for 2 days already. So I was like, wow, okay, we got here today and it feels like this, like a, you know, been here for like 2 days at least. So. But it was good, you know. I loved having that feeling versus like, man, it feels like we barely hung out at all. You know, so it's like, gotta make the most of what we can, or gotta make the most of it, you know, spend time with the family and stuff. And do what you gotta do. So on that note, guys, still rambling, so I apologize, but I hope everybody has a great rest of your week. I will keep working on myself to try to get things back together and start getting these Tuesday and Friday episodes going the way they're supposed to go again. Getting the stories written for you guys. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode, which should be episode 76. But just in case, might be just a bonus episode, you know, if I'm not able to get that writing done or whatever and get things fully back on track. But I am working on it. I'm trying to keep my head on and try to, you know, keep it together and stuff. It's one of those where, like, I'm not even pretending that I'm okay by this point. I know that I'm not, but, you know, who is higher, you know? Gotta do what we gotta do, and we gotta do our best just to keep it together and stuff. So, anyway, guys, I love you all. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. People have tried. And I will talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.